We're able to produce and test over a million different proteins for multiple properties within a week or two compared to multiple months with traditional methods.
Welcome to the AWS Health Innovation Podcast, where you can learn from entrepreneurs and investors who are driving progress in healthcare and life science around the globe. The convergence of artificial intelligence and biological engineering is ushering in a new era of drug design. I'm Alex Merwin from AWS, and on today's episode, Sanjit Misra speaks with Tarindi Haparachi, VP of Platform Strategy and Operations at Generate Biomedicines. With their innovative platform, they are revolutionizing how we design therapeutic proteins, bringing unprecedented speed and precision to drug development. I think Sanjit really put together something special with this one, so let's get started.
Hi, welcome to the AWS Health Innovation Podcast. I'm excited to host another session today. My name is Sanjit Misra, and I'm a technical product manager here at AWS. I'm focused on our managed generative AI offering, Amazon Q for Business. My background has been 13 years of experience in machine learning and analytics in healthcare. I'm thrilled to be joined today by Dr. Tarindi Haparachi, the VP of Platform Strategy and Operations at Generate Biomedicines. Prior to this role, she was at Google DeepMind, where she led strategy for AI for science and played a pivotal role in establishing and spinning out isomorphic labs, while also driving AI applications for various Google products. Tarindi holds a PhD and a Master's of Research in Bioengineering and a Master's of Science in Mathematics from the University College London. Tarindi, welcome to the pod. I'm really excited for our discussion today, as it's something near and dear to my heart. Really novel use cases of how AI is really starting to transform drug discovery. And I'm really excited for our listeners to learn about how companies like Generate Biomedicines are at the forefront of this change. So I'll kick it off. And can you tell us a little bit more about your journey into the world of machine learning and biomedicine and a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Anjit, for having me, and congrats on the new role as well. I will start with a bit of a history tour. I'm originally Sri Lankan. I grew up in Abu Dhabi in the late 80s and 90s. And that was a really formative experience for me because I saw this sort of metropolis really emerge from the sand throughout my childhood under the vision of Emirati leaders at the time. And I think it inspired a sense of possibility in me as a child. After that, I moved to London to study mathematics at University College London. And I was really fascinated by this application of the rigid frameworks of mathematics and computer science onto the complexity of biology, which is now not well understood and forever evolving. I stayed on to do a master's and PhD in bioengineering, like you mentioned. And my research focused on cerebral hypoxia ischemia, which is the loss of blood flow and oxygen to the brain. Specifically, I was looking at newborn babies because of complications during birth. And my work was to build computational models of brain metabolism to predict biomarkers that you can only measure in MRI, but then be able to predict them continuously at the bedside. So very much real world facing and very much of that flavor of computational science and biomedicine from the start. I wanted to become a career academic, and then halfway through my PhD decided against it. So Sven, data science is a hot thing. And so I finished my PhD and then moved to industry. I worked at a company called Thomson Reuters, which is this large global company at the time, which is a great place to land. And I ended up working in a variety of different industries. And so I got to work with large banks, law firms, governments, NGOs to prototype different data science solutions and really understand what were the challenges at the forefront of these different industries. But one thing I missed out on, or kind of I was feeling the lack of, was being close to science. And so I then moved to DeepMind, where I spent a number of years, mostly focused on getting the translation of DeepMind research into Google products to happen better. During that time, there was this team working on an algorithm called AlphaFold, which has protein structure prediction, and the results were looking pretty good. And so we started to explore different applications of AlphaFold. And we landed pretty quickly on drug discovery and realized that there was this a vast opportunity for AI to really revolutionize how drug discovery is done today. And so we put together the pitch for a new company, which is now called Isomorphic Labs, got the funding from Zindar, and then helped to set up that company. And so I think that really cemented my interest in drug discovery specifically. And that was a really fun time. I spent a couple of years after that at DeepMind. I also worked with the strategy of the science team at DeepMind, led their strategy. That's a very diverse portfolio. So I had a fun couple of years at DeepMind, and then I decided to cross the Atlantic and join Generate Biomedicines. And here we are.
Oh, that's awesome. It sounds like you've had a lot of academic experience, rolled that into Google DeepMind and worked through Isomorphic Labs, and that kind of landed you at Generate. So what really drew you to Generate Biomedicines, and like specifically around the mission of the organization?
Yeah, Generate, we're a clinical stage AI protein design company. We produce novel therapeutics. Our vision is to program biology. We are 6 years old. We're about 330 people. We're based mostly in Boston. I got to know of Generate as I was putting together the pitch for Isomorphic Labs. So I had my eye on them for a while before I joined. And I was specifically interested in Generate because they had chosen, I think wisely, to invest not just in building computational models when it starts, but also build this really state-of-the-art wet lab in-house so that you can push boundaries of both together. And that's really what kind of drew me to the company. And throughout my career, I worked in these interdisciplinary sciences. And one of the things that I learned is it's really important to understand the nuances of the fields and applications that you're working on. And that can be hard to do when you don't have that knowledge in-house. That's, I compare it to building a recommender system. You can build the world's best theoretical algorithm, but then when you go and apply it to something like YouTube, you realize the complexity of the world is, you know, not, you don't get the same amount of user data in different countries because of privacy law, you have various different types of user behavior that are really odd, where someone clicks on a video and then decides to not engage with it. So it's really important, I think, to understand the applications that you're working with. And that's really hard to do when you don't have your wet lab address.
That was really interesting. I think a lot of our listeners have probably heard a lot of machine learning and drug discovery, and they're probably really curious to hear, what does your role actually look like as a VP of ML and platform strategy? Generally, like, what's your day-to-day? What do you really focus on at the organization?
Yeah, sure. I would say it's an evolving role, as is quite common in a growing startup. My primary focus is really understanding what we invest in and prioritize across our platforms or across our dry and wet lab to get to our vision of programmable biology. So that's both building for the future, but also balancing the needs of supporting our very active pipeline today. And then that includes identifying tech partnerships that can really help accelerate our vision, understanding how we best leverage our platform capabilities to unlock new therapeutic areas. And then on a more tactical level, how do we structure and run our platform effectively on a day-to-day basis to do all the things that we want to do? So I manage both operational teams, but then I also, at the moment, look after our protein generation team that produces designs for all of our drug programs.
No, that's really interesting. I know, having looked at your website and really understanding Generate's focus and how they operate, I keep hearing the term kind of lab in the loop. Can you explain what that means and why it's really central to your approach?
Yeah, I think maybe your listeners are perhaps more familiar with the term of learning from human feedback, which is quite common now in generative AI understanding. And so this is similar, where you're essentially leveraging wet lab experiments for that feedback. And that lab in the loop is essentially a cycle of designing proteins, building proteins in the lab, testing against various parameters or characteristics that you're interested in, various assays, and then using that data to learn and to build your model. And so that kind of loop is, I think, further strengthened at Generate because our wet lab is in-house and enables us to not just develop new platform capabilities, new models, but also is super useful within the context of each drug program, because each drug program prosecutes perhaps a new area of biology as a new challenge every time. And having that loop within that program is also really key to Generate.
Oh, that's interesting. Like, having the wet lab in-house allows you to quickly iterate and innovate on a lot of your research. What components of Generate's platform makes it really unique and differentiated in the protein design space, especially considering there's a lot of companies in the space. So curious about Generate specifically.
Yeah, first, I think it's a combination of the different capabilities and how they plug together that really make Generate unique. So on our computational side, we have our own proprietary machine learning models for protein design. We published a model called Chroma a couple of years ago, and we have a lot more in-house now. We also have models that predict certain characteristics of properties of a molecule that are really important for therapeutics, like stability and solubility, for example. But protein design models can only go move the needle so far on their own. And we pair that with a very scalable wet lab that allows us to kind of truly leverage the power of Gen AI and push into a broader landscape of biology. So we've built the lab for scale from day one. We have multiplex assays where we're able to test a number of different properties in parallel for a number of different targets. We have our own automation team in-house that are continuously looking to supercharge our various workflows. We assemble our own DNA libraries. We use cell-free protein synthesis. So we're able to produce and test over a million different proteins for multiple properties within a week or two compared to multiple months with traditional methods. And then on top of that, we have our own cryo-EM lab. I'm not sure if your listeners are familiar with the term cryo-EM. Cryo or cryogenic electron microscopy is essentially exactly what it sounds like. You freeze proteins and you shoot electrons at them. And so we've got four of these microscopes, each of which take its own room, and they're all set up for scale. And so we can not only leverage those microscopes for imaging our own protein designs, but we can create large-scale data sets to image the types of proteins and protein complexes that are not well represented in public data, like the protein data.
No, that's really interesting to understand. I think one point you just touched on a little bit about the prior state, how it took months to actually iterate through this type of research versus now with Generate's platform. Can you touch on what the prior state in the space was? Like, how did research typically get conducted versus now in your approach?
Yeah, sure. We, in traditional methods, you're often before, let's say this is the phase before AI, more traditional computational methods, you'll be designing one protein at a time. And those are often fairly manual processes and based on historic knowledge of what you've done before and what you've seen before to ideate and to manually change different parts of a protein or different molecules to produce a novel molecule in itself. And so it tends to be a very manual process both to design, but then to also test, because at the time you're testing one protein at a time. So you don't really need to have that scale to be able to screen against or test various different proteins. And you're probably taking a couple of weeks to produce that, a couple of months to produce that protein and test it against, let's say, one molecular property like solubility, and then you do the next. So with AI, what we're really able to do is to both design and test for multiple properties at the same time, where you're optimizing against both the target protein that you're interested in, but then also these other characteristics that are super important for therapeutics, for like developability characteristics, like I talked about, like solubility and stability, and then be able to test for all those parameters at once. Mm-hmm. So it's a much more accelerated approach to drug discovery than the ones that we were typically used.
So essentially, if I had to recap that point, you're getting a lot more shots on goal, essentially, versus the old traditional approach, you maybe have to focus on one versus now you get many more, and hopefully one or more of those will succeed through research. So you're getting, so accelerates the innovation, the pace.
That's exactly. I'm much more paralyzed than it was before.
That's fascinating to hear. I want to dive a little bit more into some of the partnerships that your organization has. So I know Generate has some partnerships with Amgen and Novartis. So I'm really curious, how do these collaborations really work within your platform-oriented approach? How do you work with them?
Yeah, sure. We are very lucky to have partners that are willing to push the boundaries with us. The way that we approach partnerships is really with our platform in mind. So every partnership program enables us to develop the platform further and apply our capabilities in new ways. that we weren't otherwise able to. Those are not easy wins, as folks know who are in this business, but we seek and design partnerships that can challenge our capabilities and that can propel us further. And we've been really lucky in the selection of partners that we've had so far.
That's amazing. So that's really fascinating to hear how these large pharmas are really working with a lot of these innovative, generative biology-oriented companies to really get up and increase the speed of their R&D. So that's really cool. So really just hearing a little bit more, why is it really important for Generate to have therapeutics and clinical trials? So I understand there's a lot, you guys have a lot of candidates that are going through clinical trials right now, particularly when you're a really technology-focused company.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. So we have two candidates in phase one trials now, and we're on a mission to program biology, but with the ultimate end impact in mind, right? So with therapeutics, that's providing patients with medicines that they desperately need. In the same way that it's hard to build a product without knowing who your users are or what your user needs are, we select programs that have a clear path to that impact, have a clear path to the clinic and to actually being useful and of value to patients. And you learn so much from that instance, right? This is where theory meets reality. It's where the theorizing of all of our machine learning models, as well as all the wet lab results that we've gotten preclinically, really come to fruition in actually having that patient benefit from that particular medicine. I remember the image of the first kind of vial of the first dose of a Generate drug that was injected into a patient. And that itself is like such a sense of achievement. That's what we're all working towards and working hard for.
That's amazing. I'm sure that feeling was, you probably can't even imagine it, especially when you join the company at such an early stage. That's awesome. So really thinking about this generative biology space, it's becoming increasingly crowded. So when you think about Generate specifically, How do you really differentiate on capabilities? I know we touched on a lot so far, but if you had to holistically think about it, how would you think about Generate's position?
I would say that kind of, I know I talked to length about it today already, but I'd really say it is, there's few in the industry right now that truly integrate wet and dry lab and ideate with both capabilities in mind. That's not easy to do. But I think that's been the fabric of the company from the start. And so that's positioned us really well. The other thing is we have end-to-end expertise in-house, and that gives us a more strategic view of what bets to take on. We have our computational design team that produce new machine learning models. We have our wet lab preclinical teams that will test things in-house. But then we also have an amazing clinical development team who have experiences of taking drugs to market and understand what it takes to find the right patients and set up the trials in the right way. We have a manufacturing team who think about all the parameters that we need to consider when we're actually producing a drug at scale to be able to take it to those trials. And having all of those voices in-house is a game changer for us. We have these weekly team meetings where we delve into different programs on a regular basis. And it is such an exciting and both for me an educational experience to sit at a table with all these different expertise and different perspectives. And it really takes all of that input to get a drug into a therapeutic.
I know based on our discussion thus far, it seems you have these partnerships, you have a lab in the loop, you have your wet labs in-house, you're taking these drugs into clinical trials. The experience that you've collectively built internally at Generate is incredible. Can you walk us through some examples of how you actually leverage the platform to really design a protein?
Sure. We've built our technology stack in a very modular way to be able to tackle a variety of different therapeutic applications. So two simple examples of this are generative optimization and de novo generation. Both of these leverage the same in-house GenAI protein design model stack. For example, imagine you want to write an email. You might use Gemini, your Amazon Q, or your favorite chat agent. And you might start with drafting that email first and feeding it into a chat agent and asking the agent to optimize it for clarity or to be more direct, for example. Or you can ask the agent to write from scratch. And then you might read that through and think, actually, I want this to be a bit shorter, or you want it to use less exclamation marks, for example. And so you might ask the agent then to optimize that for the particular characteristics or changes that you're interested in. In a similar way in protein design, you can use a reference molecule as a starting point and leverage GenAI models to then optimize it for certain characteristics to produce a novel molecule that is ultimately a better therapeutic. For example, you might want to increase its potency and binding specificity to a specific target protein so it's more efficacious or has fewer side effects. Or you might want to improve the half-life of the body so that the patient only needs to take the drug every 6 months as opposed to taking it every month. Alternatively, in de novo protein generation, you can now also leverage GenAI models to essentially create a protein from scratch and design it for the particular characteristics that you're interested in. At Generate, we have pursued optimization programs first, and that's a strategic choice. And there's a couple of reasons for that. First, it's easier to validate the effectiveness of our platform by applying it to known de-risked biology. We can more clearly understand the value of our AI models rather than complicating the results with the uncertainty of the target or the uncertainty of the modality that we're applying it to. Second, enables us to essentially create early value from our platform. We get to generate therapeutics for the patients that really need them. And also, we are supporting our funding needs. Our first molecules in the clinic essentially come from this early optimization approach using our early generative protein design models. Our first phase one trial was for our COVID antibody. It targets the S2 domain of the spike protein, which is a critical region that's involved in how the virus actually fuses with human cells. So it's considered undruggable by traditional methods. The S2 domain is actually also highly conserved across a majority of COVID variants, which means that it remains largely unchanged as the virus evolves. What we've done here is to optimize a reference molecule that could bind to a new part of the virus for an optimizer for potency, for stability, for efficacy. We got it into the clinic in 17 months, and we achieved a pretty positive phase one result, which we presented at Infectious Disease Conference last year. This was a really important validation point for our platform, but also for patients at higher risk of severe outcomes. The ability to receive up to 6 months of protection from a single dose is actually pretty valuable. Our second phase one trial is for an anti-TSLP drug for severe asthma indication. TSLP is an immune system protein that's involved in allergic and inflammatory diseases. We're currently completing phase one trials, and we're pretty excited by recent data. These molecules were computationally designed by our team back in 2022. So that's before the first release of ChatGPT. And so in AI terms, that's the era. We have made significant strides in our models since then, not only actually in our AI models, but also in our wet lab, which enable us to be much more creative now. To give folks a bit of a flavor of what we're up to, imagine that you're looking to treat a disease that involves the build of a particular protein in the body. And you know of a bacterial enzyme that essentially breaks down that exact protein. One thing you can look to do is to take the enzyme active site from that bacterial enzyme, take your favorite human protein, and regenerate the structure of that protein around that enzyme active site. So you essentially get to install that catalytic activity into your favorite human protein, which is pretty cool. Now, there's still a lot that yet needs to be demonstrated and validated in protein design. It's a long game, but the data is pretty encouraging.
That's fascinating. So when you think about it, you have so many drug programs ongoing. Your team is probably handling a massive amount of biological data. So how do they typically handle this volume for all these different programs and projects?
We have spent a lot of effort, Sajid, in investing in not only pushing through new wet lab methodologies, but also thinking about the data pipelines and the data engineering that we need in order to support them. So we have an informatics team in-house that builds workflow and analytics tools. We are actually building our own protein data bank as our own proprietary version that holds all the different proteins that we've been designing and testing. And so we have both the proteins and the protein designs themselves, but then all the characteristics of their protein that we've been able to test and measure through our in-house lab. And then on top of that, as I said, we're growing at our cryo lab and be able to produce structures at scale in an automated lab 24/7. And so over time, that will add even further kind of treasure trove of information to that data bank. And so we're super excited about that.
That's awesome. I'm just thinking about you guys are moving so fast. So there's probably a lot of current challenges that you're facing. Are there any ones that you call out and how you're really addressing them?
Yeah, this is a space where there is so much opportunity. There's a lot of different directions that you can take the platform and deploy our current capacity. And so prioritizing and picking the right bets has been key. But we're building with the long term in mind. And so we're balancing the more immediate commitments with where our longer term roadmap of where we'd like to go. But we're lucky to have investors that are supportive of that roadmap and where the future will take us. And so we've been lucky to be able to invest in both those streams of thought. It's been a super exciting time, I think, in protein design. As folks have probably seen this, you hear of new models and methods almost every day now. But we're definitely seeing that some challenges still remain on the modeling front too, mostly in designing molecules and proteins that are suited for the real world, which is very much the business that Generate is in. We're here to design new therapeutics and rather than focusing on kind of the early proof of concepts that you often see. And it's that kind of shift from demonstrating a proof of concept to the art of what's possible in the clinic and actually taking a protein to become a therapeutic. That is a real challenge. And that's what I would say we're navigating and we're pushing through on today. I would say we're well placed to do that because we have so much expertise in house and a very active pipeline that we're definitely learning from on a day-to-day basis. But it's also important to point out that some of these challenges are not necessarily technical. So they're definitely the technical aspect of protein modeling and different computational approaches that we're taking that can be solved by AI and we continue to do that. But there are also cultural challenges that you often need to navigate in tech forward organizations. You need to throw the playbook out the window and you need to continuously experiment and try new things. And that can be hard to do in an industry with so much history where people are so used to doing things a certain way. And so you need to find the right partners who are willing to go on that journey with you and take those risks.
Yeah, that's great. So as we close today, I think one thing I'm really curious about, given the pace of innovation in the last year, 2 years, 3 years, where do you see this field really going in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think it's a super exciting time. There's a lot going on in the world today, but I think in protein design, it's a great time to be alive. I think we'll start to see new modalities emerge, new mechanisms that were not possible previously. We're already starting to see that in our own work, and I'm sure there'll be more to share in future. We are also seeing already shortened timelines to the clinic, and I think that will accelerate, and I'm excited for that. I think the offshoot of that, like I said before, is that it makes the process a lot cheaper, and making the process a lot cheaper also means being able to prosecute diseases for populations that are not well represented in the market today. And so I'm super excited for that as well. One of the other things that I would love to see is more personalized therapeutics emerge. But I think that also requires us investing more in understanding the biological diversity across the population. But I'm looking forward to that becoming a reality too.
Yeah, seems like even the next 1 to 2 years, things will be completely different than what the current data is. So that's really exciting to hear. So I'm sure a lot of our listeners, as they're listening to you, are getting extremely excited. And they would love to hear probably a little bit of advice from you if they wanted to enter or even explore this field. So what would you tell them?
Oh, we're on a rocket ship. Jump in. It's a fast-moving space. There's lots of opportunities emerging. And I would say there's no real set career path or route. Everybody brings something new to the table, and that's what's exciting about it. Like I said, at Generate, I get to sit at a table with folks from many different fields, many different walks of life who have all been through the ringer in different ways and have the experiences to show for it. And it's been exciting also to work with folks who are straight out of university and designing a protein for the first time and getting to see it made in the lab and are super excited by that. I'm I'm super optimistic about where the field is going. And I think it's been great to see so much new investment and new folks also pop up in the space.
That's exciting. So the last question I have today is, if you really thought about starting Generate today, how would you really approach building the company given the current state of technology and competition?
This might sound disappointing, but I think I'd actually take a pretty similar approach in the sense that I would invest in both the computational and the wet lab at the same time in the same way that Generate had 6 years ago. I would continue to push the boundaries of both. And I think it's really that integration and that fabric together that makes the company work. However, so starting today, I think the LLM space has been super interesting. It's been great to see these new generative AI approaches coming about. And I'd probably build for a more agentic first approach, AI first, of course, but also more agentic first from the start. And I think that might, perhaps we would have built the company slightly differently from that perspective, but these are also things that we're doing in-house now. So that's been good to see.
Awesome. That's all the time we have today. So I really appreciate you taking some time and walking us through your personal journey and what led you to Generate and give us a lot of really cool insights about the company. It's been really fascinating. And for our listeners, we'll post some links below and you can jump in and learn a lot more about Generate from their website. So thank you, Tharandeep. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Ajit, for having me.
Thanks for joining us today for the AWS Health Innovation Podcast. If you want to get in touch with AWS, please check out our show notes where you can find a link. If you enjoy the podcast, the best way to support us is to share it with your colleagues and friends. We also really appreciate your reviews and ratings wherever you listen to podcasts. We love hearing feedback from our listeners, so please don't hesitate to get in touch. Again, you'll find all the details in our show notes. See you next week.